It's time to turn your garden into a smart garden on News Radio 830 WCCO. Smart Gardens, an hour of expert advice and answers to all of your lawn and gardening questions. You can call 989-9226 or text us at 81807. Now, here's Denny Law with this week's Smart Garden.
Good morning, and let's say hi to Julie Weisenhorn from the University of Minnesota Extension.
Morning.
You and I were talking. Morning, buddy. It's good to see you.
Thank you.
We were both kind of disbelief.
I know.
And we starting our seventh season
seventh
of the show?
Year, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
We were just kids.
We're still trying to figure this whole thing out.
But that's amazing. Time does fly.
I know.
It really does.
I know it. It's incredible.
It's good to have Julie back in studio. It's good to have you as our listeners asking your lawn or garden questions of Julie. And you can do it by phone or by text.
Yes.
And this show, thanks to our good friends at By the Yard Patio Furniture, sponsor the show every week. We really appreciate that. Great family-run business, and we'll talk about that in just a matter of minutes or so. So thanks to the folks at By the Yard.
Yeah.
And thanks to you.
Them.
Yeah, and we can't do the show without your questions either.
Yeah.
Well, we could, but we'd be tap dancing a lot.
Woohoo! Making them up as we go along.
651-989-9226. We've cleared the line, so if you do have any kind of a lawn or garden question, you know we tend to get busy here. So call in or text in. Phone again, 651-989-9226. Again, the text is 81807. Texter already, they're getting text messages, Julie. Are magnolia trees or bushes hard to grow in Minnesota?
No, they're actually, we have a lot of varieties that are available and grow well in Minnesota. We have a publication on our extension site about magnolias, and it has a list of a number of different cultivars and varieties that you can grow. So that's a great resource. Also, I highly recommend that this spring you head out to the Arboretum when the magnolias are blooming, because it's unbelievable how gorgeous those trees are. They're just beautiful. And they have very interesting buds in the winter, too. So they actually give you some winter interest.
Mm. Yeah, I used to have, but it was too close to the house. I remember it was
that usually
planted
happens.
Wrong,
yeah.
The wrong
yeah.
place. But so, yeah, did you say there are other options? I mean, there are other varieties of those? Or
yeah, there's and different sizes. There's a yellow magnolia. There's a pink magnolia. I'm not thinking of what the cultivars are, but take a look at the publication, and then also be sure to get out to the Arboretum. St. Paul campus, too. If you live near the St. Paul campus, we have gorgeous blooming magnolias in the spring on our campus.
Okay, you can kind of practice going to the state fairgrounds.
Perfect.
There, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. Find your place to park.
Before you know. Oh, my. It will be around before you know it. All right, text number 81807. Here's a text. If you want to start in with straw bale gardening, can you use hay bales or are straw bales required? How about straw bales gardening as a topic for some show?
Well, straw bale gardening is a kind of hot topic. Joel Karsten, who's a graduate of the University of Minnesota, is an author of an excellent book on how to do straw bale. And he, in his latest edition, he added a section on how to make your own bales out of various things like yard waste. So I would defer to Joel on that and defer to his book on how to do that. I did do straw bale gardening. I got 8 straw bales in my Highlander. That was pretty interesting driving down the road. But there is a technique to doing it, to priming the straw bales so that that they make a good growing bed and then also that they start breaking down. The nice thing about them is at the end of the year, you just bust up the bales and compost them.
Hmm.
So it's easy to do. And you can do straw bales on hardscape like asphalt. You can set them up there or on a mulched area. That's what we did in the display garden for the kids. So I grew peppers and beans and all sorts of different things in it. But take a look at that book. That's a great book. Joel Karsten, Karsten, is the last name. And that's probably the best book that I know about, that I've read about straw bale.
Hmm, interesting. By the way, there's a line open if you want to talk to Julie by phone, 651-989-9226. We are getting more text messages. A texter says, love onions, but never have luck growing them. I've used sets and starts. They just sit without any growth.
Yeah, they're onions. Again, we have a publication on the Extension site about that. I'm not a very good onion grower either. I don't have a whole lot of luck with that. Spring onions might be a better thing to try, and those are little green like scallions. Maybe try those, and they don't have to get so big. And unless you have the right type of soil and a good open space, and you plant them properly, they kind of sit slightly above the soil. They're a bulb, and the sets are a good way to go. But like I said, I'm not an expert in onions, so that's a tough one. But take a look at the publication because that does give you some information about it.
Well, I mentioned earlier that given the warmer temperatures this week, slowly but surely, we're going to see more of our lawns.
Like maybe 40.
And yeah, that's all relative, isn't it?
Woo, heat wave.
Please explain, Texter says, what the numbers on the fertilizer bags represent.
The numbers, you might see a fertilizer bag that says 10-0-15 for your lawn. The 10 is the percent of nitrogen, N, the number of the letter. And if you think back to your periodic table of elements from science class and chemistry, N is the symbol for nitrogen. P, which we kind of refer to it as phosphorus, but it's actually phosphate. Mm. That's the middle number. And in lawn fertilizer, for example, you will see a zero because we have a phosphorus law here in Minnesota that we cannot purchase lawn fertilizer with any phosphorus in it. And the third letter is K for potassium or potash, and that is so that would be 15%. So 10-0-15 means 10% nitrogen, 0% phosphorus, and 15% potassium or potash.
People will be purchasing those pretty soon.
And the one thing is people will say, well, that doesn't add up to be 100% because the rest of it is carrier. It could be something like a clay or almost like it's something that just carries
the other stuff.
Just to distribute, yeah.
Okay. Let's go back to the phones, Julie. Steve in Monticello is first up here. Steve, you're on with Julie.
All righty. I just called about the straw bale gardening. I've been doing it for quite a few years.
Oh, great.
And it works good.
It does.
Your plants are on steroids.
Yeah. Well, they heat up, and those bales heat up, and so they warm up those seeds pretty quick, or those transplants.
But I just had one thing to say. You said that throw the bales away after you use them the first year.
Mm-hmm.
And I always put my potatoes in the bales.
Oh, great.
When they're 2 years old.
That's a good idea.
They come out fantastic, and they're not dirty.
Yep.
They do a real good job. And then the third year, you know, when I'm done with that, then we compost them. And my wife uses them in her flower garden after they've finished composting.
Right. That's great. Yeah, that's a great way to use those. Because the bales, if you buy the bales, you're paying some money for them. So if you can use them a couple of years, that's terrific.
All right. Good going, Steve.
Yeah. Thanks, Steve. That's great.
I know
you've been successful at it.
Yeah. Quick break is in store here in a second. But Texter says, what's the proper way to cover exposed roots and to get grass to grow again in that area?
Cover exposed roots of like tree roots, I wonder?
I don't know. It doesn't say.
Maybe you could text back a little more detail.
Yeah. Do that. 81807. Lynn and Rogers, hang on. You're going to be first up when we come back. 651-989-9226. Or send a text, as I said, 81807. Skies are fair. Twin City temperature reading 15, going for 32 later today. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Danny Long here with Julie Weisenhorn from the University of Minnesota Extension.
I'd untangle my headphones.
Yeah, don't step on them. We have a line open. If you want to call in your garden question, lawn or garden question, 651-989-9226. So Lynn is calling from Rogers with a question. Thanks, Lynn. What is your question for Julie?
Hi, Julie. I've been growing gladiolas for years.
Yes.
And the past 2 years, they get the buds on them, but the buds don't open up and they turn brown. Is there something I can do to prevent that?
Oh, boy, that's a good question. I'm actually looking on our Extension site. We have a publication on growing gladiolas. And I, to be honest, have never grown them before. I just saw them the other day and I was like, I should try those just to help answer questions about them. But I'm seeing if there's any pests that one thing is recommended is to rotate your gladiola bulbs. Do you move them around the garden?
I do.
Okay, that's good. Maybe actually if there's any callers or listeners who are gladiola growers and have any ideas, because I'm not coming up with anything.
Oh, I bet we will.
Yeah. So maybe I'm guessing it's some kind of a pest or maybe a virus that might be an issue.
Well, Lynn, why don't you just keep listening?
Yeah, keep listening, Lynn, and we'll see if anybody out there is a gladiola grower.
We have a lot of great listeners that will come up with something.
That's a very popular bulb.
So keep listening.
Technically a corm.
Thanks, Lynn. Keep listening.
Thanks.
Thanks for your question.
Sorry about that. Boy, I've been skunked on the,
the gladiola
on the gladiolas issue. And the onions today.
Should
so
I?
So doggone storage units.
Here's a text, Julie. Should I leave well-mulched leaves under my lilac shrubs or remove them in the spring? Is there any nutrient value left?
Well, certainly well-mulched leaves, as long as they're not packing down. Sometimes we leave leaves and over the winter they get very wet and they pack down and they become this kind of layer. But if they've been chopped up or they're loose and light and allowing air to flow to and water to get into the soil, then yeah, you can just leave them there as a mulch. That's fine. They'll break down over the season and add organic matter to your soil.
If you have a text, 81807. Here's another one, Julie. Dave is asking, have you ever heard anything on how the maple syrup season is doing?
I think it's doing great. I have a friend up in Bemidji, and he is delighted with the results up there. Mm. And also out at the Arboretum, I was reading in the newsletter that this is a great season for it because we have these very cold nights and these warmer days. And that's what you need. You need the cold nights to sweeten up that sap and then the warm days get it flowing.
Here's a texter, Julie, that's asking about blueberry plants. When to fertilize and acidify and with what?
Well, you'll want to do a soil test first so that you know where you're standing from a pH standpoint. And blueberries grow in about 6.2 or 6.0, somewhere around there, maybe down to even 5.5. So they need some acidic soil. In the metro area, because we have a limestone substrate for our soil, we tend to have higher pH soil around the metro, central Minnesota, and southern Minnesota. When you get up into the Arrowhead, you get more acidic soil because it has a different foundation under the soil as far as the rock foundation. So you need to do a soil test. And one of the recommendations for blueberries is you can amend your soil, but you're going to have to do it every single year, and you're going to have to determine and take that soil test and then amend it with a sulfur, elemental sulfur, and then feed those blueberries with a product like muracid, which is a fertilizer for acid-loving plants like azaleas, blueberries, etc. And otherwise, if you don't, you're going to end up with plants that become very yellow. And we call it, it's iron chlorosis. It's the inability of the plant to take up the iron because of the pH. And so you'll want to do that when they're early in the spring, when they're starting to leaf out, is take that soil test as soon as you can and then amend that soil accordingly to the soil test to lower that pH. The other option is to plant your blueberry plants in containers and plant them in peat. You can also amend your garden soil with peat as well, too. So you can do that and treat them as a container shrub and then overwinter them in a garage. And, you know, if you have a slightly heated garage or cool garage, or buy them every year and plant them as an annual type of crop. So it's hard in the Twin City area to grow blueberries successfully. So I always admire the blueberry growers around the area who are able to do it.
Yeah.
So it's something.
651-989-9226 if you want to phone in your lawn or garden question or send a text, 81807. Jane is calling from Prior Lake, I believe. Jane, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Good morning. We live in the country. We planted a large garden last year. We put chickenware around it to keep rodents out. But okay. Something was eating it. You'd go to pick a tomato, and it would look like a human had actually taken a bite out of it.
Oh, yeah. Probably chipmunks.
How about raccoons?
Or raccoons. Chipmunks tend to take one bite out of something and then leave the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know, they never
that's
just
exactly
take
what
a,
was happening.
They never just take a tomato and eat the whole thing and be done.
So they eat in moderation like
yeah,
I should
yeah,
be
they
doing.
Take a bite here and a bite there, and they wind up ruining quite a bit of your fruit. Same with they'll do the same thing with strawberries. So it's hard with fencing because they can just climb right over the fencing. But continue to fence it because that will keep rabbits out and other animals that can't climb over that fencing as well. As far as what to do about it, I think maybe a little bit higher fence might help just to make it a little more challenging for them. If you can do any kind of reap them around your plants, that's a possibility too. And maybe fencing the plants themselves so that it's a little bit more difficult to get to the fruit versus just a big fence around the whole garden that gives them lots of room to run around inside of the garden. So it's chipmunks are tough, so are squirrels as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
All right, Jane, thank you. Some advice there. We have another half hour of the show to go. Julie Weisenhorn in studio from the University of Minnesota Extension, and your calls and your text messages. One line is open if you want to fill it, 651-989-9226. Text number, and we'll pick up on those too, 81807. And good morning. Welcome to this portion of our Smart Garden Show, brought to us every Saturday by our friends at By the Yard Patio Furniture down there in Jordan, Minnesota.
Thank you.
You can find them this weekend at, this is the final weekend of the Home and Garden Show.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, at the Convention Center. But By the Yard's going to be there as usual. Check out that furniture we've told you about 4 years.
Wow.
All right. Julie, we're going to put you back to work. We
All
have
right.
a lot of callers and a lot
Let
of texters.
Rip.
Let's see who has been waiting. It would be Donald in West St. Paul. First up here, Donald, what's your question?
I have two avocado trees that are about 6 or 7 years old. They're 3.5 to 4 feet tall. They have a lot of leaves. And I don't know if I put them in bigger pots, they're going to be hard to get in the house in the
right.
wintertime. I take them out in the summer. So I'm wondering what I should do with them.
At some point they'll have to go into bigger pots.
Okay.
So the best thing to do, I find that I have a Meyer lemon tree that's quite large. And I, first of all, chose a plastic pot for it. Certainly there's a lot of great clay pots, but of course they get heavier. And it kind of depends on if you just like them for the ornamental value, which is really about all we can expect, I think, in Minnesota. I don't know if they... would even fruit here. But if you continue to want to grow them, you're ultimately going to have to transplant them into something larger. You can use things like there's some, I don't know what the name of the product is, but it's like a sling for pots.
Mm.
And you need two people and you have handles, but it fits around the pot and you can then lift the pot and move it. So if you're moving it into the house or something, you can put it on a little dolly that helps once you get it in the house so you can move it around. That helps as well for moving it. And you're going to need a big sunny window for them as well, or at least some supplemental light from a grow light.
Okay. Some advice there. Thanks, Donald. Marion is calling from Crystal. Marion, you're on with Julie.
Hi, Julie.
Good morning.
I have three amaryllis bulbs, and two of them are ready to bloom. I was
kind
of late bringing them out of the basement. But the third one, the biggest bulb, is just leaves. So should I just give up on that one, or should I keep it going and try for another season?
I would keep it going. If the leaves are big and green and healthy, then in the summer put it outside. And it may bloom in the summer, actually. And then I would take it back in and just kind of keep it going. Those leaves are going to photosynthesize and add nutrition to that bulb. So if the bulb is healthy and firm and large, then I would keep it growing.
Okay. Thanks, Marion. 651-989-9226 is the phone number, or send a text. We have a bunch of those. 81807. Ed is calling in from Fridley. Ed, you're on CCO with Julie.
Morning, Julie.
Morning.
I have a dwarf Harrelson apple tree that's been in our yard for probably 25 years.
Oh, nice.
And I noticed that this year, some branches, their bark is turning gray, and actually some birds are peeling it off. Must be bugs below it. Is this something that shows that the tree is about at its end of its life?
Well, it shows that you've got some issues on that particular branch, and you're right that there probably are some insects that are below it. That could also be squirrels that are peeling off that bark too. And I would just keep an eye on that branch, and if that branch is dead, then you'll want to prune that off. You could probably still do it if you wanted to do some pruning on it. We're getting kind of late into the season. We typically recommend that you prune, you know, in March or so. But because we've got such cold weather right now, you could probably still get away with it in the next day or two. But yeah, it's when you start to see that happening, and especially if you start to see woodpeckers and other animals that are in there, you know, looking for insects, there could be something going on in that branch.
Okay.
20 years is pretty good.
Yeah, it is. Thanks, Ed. Mike in Litchfield is next on the phone. Mike, what's your question for Julie?
Good morning. The question I have about 2 acres that I put nothing but pumpkins in.
Okay.
And I'm looking for something to control the weeds, especially when it gets to the fall. I can till it and continue to till it until they vine out. And then after that, it just is not enough time to try to pull all the weeds by hand. And I'm wondering if there's something that I could put on to begin with and then plant my pumpkins, and then hopefully I can control the weeds a little bit that way.
Are you planting transplants or are you planting seeds?
Seeds.
Okay. So the difficulty with that is that if you put down a pre-emergent, that pre-emergent could deter your seeds from germinating, your pumpkin seeds. And the pre-emergent is going to affect any kind of annual weed seeds they're going to prevent them from germinating. So that's one tactic. But then you might, if you want to start those pumpkins ahead of time so that you're putting transplants in the ground instead of seeds, that might be one way around that. You could start those seeds probably pretty soon here. And so that's one idea. The other one, because you have 2 acres, that's a lot, but you could put down some kind of a landscape fabric that would prevent the weeds from growing through, a weed barrier. But that's a big expense, and that's a lot of work.
That is. I tried a little bit of that down the road, but it killed the weed, just came up.
Yeah. Yep. So those are probably, other than that, you could also not till the soil. When you till, you turn weed seeds up from underneath the soil, and they become exposed, and that will cause them to germinate also. So tilling, if you might just till the area that you're just going to plant the seeds in or the transplants. Maybe it's just a row, but leave the rest of it alone and try that too. That would prevent some of those weed seeds that are buried from being exposed and germinating.
Put down a pre-emerge ahead of time and wait like for 2 weeks or then plant seed, will that help?
I don't think so. I'm not really sure. You'd have to look at the package and read the label, and it will tell you how soon then you could plant seed after that. But to the best of my knowledge, we just don't recommend a pre-emergent if you're going to do any kind of seeding.
It's a lot of weeding, 2 acres.
It's a lot of weeding, yeah definitely.
Good luck, Mike.
And hard to weed around those big vines, too.
If you have a question, a lawn or garden question, via text, that number is 81807. Here's one, Julie. I have a hibiscus tree that I let go dormant. When should I start watering it and getting it out of the dark, and how to feed it?
Well, if it's a hibiscus, and if it's a tropical hibiscus versus a hardy hibiscus, you could take that out any time. And in fact, you can grow it year round in your house. You put it outside, you know, in the summer. So you don't really need it to go dormant. If it's a perennial hibiscus, I would get that in the ground and not be growing that actually in a container necessarily. But you could grow it in a container, I suppose. But I don't know how successful it would be for it to go dormant and then bring it out of dormancy. But I think either case, I would take it out right now.
I just thought of something. We haven't mentioned the website yet.
Hey, the website, yeah. And actually, in the website, if you're thinking about vegetables, we've got some terrific website, some videos. We've been doing a lot of video lately. There's one that Michelle Grabowski, our plant pathologist, is doing on starting healthy transplants. Annie Claude, who's our new extension educator in fruit and vegetable, has done some apple tree pruning videos, also done some great writing up about what to be doing in April for your vegetable garden. So, and there's a video of me and my little cousin Avery, and we're starting seeds together, doing what's called the ragdoll method, which is something you do to test seeds for germination, and then you can also plant them, get them started. So, the website is extension.umn.edu. Click on the garden tab, go to Yard and Garden.
All right, we'll mention that again before Julie.
Check out the Yard and Garden news. That's where a lot of these videos are.
Great. Texter, and we've heard this before, a texter says, I pour my leftover coffee on my houseplants. Is that okay?
It's okay, but be careful not to overwater, over coffee your plants, because that's the biggest cause of root rot in houseplants.
No kidding. Yeah. Just the moisture or the caffeine?
The moisture. It's the moisture.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Had to clarify that.
Yeah, a lot of plants suffer from that.
If you want to send a text, 81807, here's another one. Julie, what's the best fertilizer to put in flower beds before putting in bedding plants?
You can put in a balanced fertilizer, and you're right to mix it in before you actually put in the bedding plants. It's harder to amend that soil and to add that fertilizer afterwards. So putting it in first, turning it into the soil slightly, and then putting in your transplants is a good practice. But a balanced fertilizer, which is where all three of those numbers are equal, like a 10-10-10 or a 20-20-20, you could also do, if you haven't done a soil test for about 3 to 5 years, it's a good thing to do that too, to get a baseline for where you are with your soil.
We had a little clarification that you requested about what you thought incorrectly was exposed tree roots.
Oh, yes, yes.
And as far as growing grass, you guys get that question all the time.
Yeah, and the first thing is not to cover up the tree roots. Don't put soil on them. Don't bury them. You could put some mulch on, a thin amount of mulch on there. But those tree roots are supposed to be exposed. As far as the difficulty in mowing around them, to be honest, I wouldn't try growing any grass around big tree roots like that. I would mulch that area, and I would plant it with shade perennials or perennials that are suitable for the amount of light that you have. To try to mow around those, you're just asking for trouble, because your mower can damage those tree roots, and then you open up a wound, and then you could potentially have some infection, or you could have insects that invade that wound, and you get a lot bigger problem on your hands than just trying to mow around tree roots. So mulch around those big roots, and if you don't like the way the mulch looks, just open, just plain, add in some perennials that are shade perennials or suitable to the light.
Texter says, can you tell me what the beautiful tall grasses are that you see that are very delicate and pale goldish color, the tops of very fine plumage? You see, I see those off the side of the road.
Yeah, they're probably a miscanthus. They are they're a hardy plant. They do spread by their rhizomatous, meaning that they spread by surface roots. And so they need a very large place to grow. And there are a lot of different cultivars of miscanthus, too, that offer lots of different kinds of great seasonal interest year-round. I would recommend going up to the ornamental grass collection at the Arboretum if you're interested in grasses, because Mary Meyer, who's also on the show, she'll be back in May. She has some fantastic varieties up there. They're just gorgeous, gorgeous grasses, and it's really an amazing place to go, especially toward the end of summer when the grasses are all in full bloom and they're full grown. Wow, it's really dramatic. And you get some good ideas walking around the Arboretum looking at the different grasses that are planted, and especially at the grass collection.
Neat, that Arboretum. Highway 5, go west on 5 to 41 roughly, you'll see that sign.
Right, open
there.
364 days a year. I think they're only closed on Christmas Day.
What a place.
Yeah, it's we are so lucky in Minnesota to have the Arboretum.
And that's the University of Minnesota Landscape Arboretum.
It is, indeed.
All right, Julie, hang on. We'll take a bit of a break. You're more show to come. We'll pick up on your phone calls, and we've got a bunch of text messages we'd like to answer as well. And good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show, presented every Saturday here in the 8 o'clock hour by our friends at
Whether you
by
like it or
yard.
Not.
as I was saying, by the yard patio furniture. We thank them for that. All right, Julie, let's see. We've got, we're going to do kind of a lightning round.
All right.
So go for it. You've got control of that screen.
I have control. We've got some great suggestions here from people. I love reading what people put up here. Okay. So on the chipmunks thing, we've got somebody who puts mothballs to deter chipmunks, rabbits. It's cheap and works like a charm. Mary from Minnetonka. This is about the question about the chipmunks eating one bite out of your tomatoes.
Oh, yeah.
Chipmunks can easily go through chicken wire. So, yes, so you'd want to use like a hardware cloth. That will help. Dave is recommending electrifying the top of the fence to keep critters out. You don't need it to be as powerful as for deer, so okay. Use the lesser. And then dusting fruit with cornstarch. Most animals don't like this, but it won't hurt the plant or the fruit. In southwest Minnesota, we put electric fences around our sweet corn gardens, two strands of wire, not so tall, so you can step over it. So those are all really good suggestions. And then the gladiola question, we had some good advice here. Don't plant the glads too deep. Also, too much water will cause the buds to brown. So you may have a drainage issue. You might want to amend your soil increase the drainage so that you have well-drained soil. Another idea is you may have thrips, which are tiny, tiny insects, and put the bulbs in a solution of Hylex and water in the fall before removing them from the soil. Leave in for maybe overnight. Do the same treatment again before replanting. Dry well before putting in storage. She had the same problem, or this person had the same problem when they first started planting glads. Got this information from someone who sells glads at the farmer's market, and it has worked for them. Let's see. What else did somebody else ask? I think that's it for the past questions. So let's look at some of these other questions people have.
Sure.
It's looking to me like, let's see, somebody is asking about, let's look at pruning because there's a number of pruning questions. I can never remember which of my hydrangea to cut back and which ones grow on old stems. Any rule of thumb? So you will want to know what kind of hydrangea you have, and then you can take a look at that. We have a publication on pruning shrubs, and I think that there's a publication on it's the paniculata hydrangeas you can cut back. Some of the macrophylla come on new wood, like the Endless Summer, which supposedly comes on both new and wood and old wood. So you'll need to know which kind it is. But in most cases with the hydrangeas, you can prune them back to an active bud, when a bud that's starting to open, and that will take care of it. Then if anything new comes up, then you'll be able to, prune it appropriately. When pruning trees, what should I put on exposed wood after branches are gone? You don't have to put anything on the exposed wood. In fact, we found that any kind of wound paint, latex paint, is actually detrimental to the plant healing. The only time you would ever use it is if you have to prune a tree in an inappropriate time of year, such as you have a wind damage to something like an oak in the summer, in the time when it's high risk for oak wilt, then you would use wound paint or latex paint over that. But in 99% of the time, you don't use any kind of wound paint over it. Would you damage the very fine little roots in between the big roots of the trees if you try to plant shade flowers and plants? So this is in response to mulching and mowing between tree roots. You can damage a few of those roots a little bit. Certainly, you're going to want to be careful when you're planting so that you're not damaging the larger roots that are there. But the tree can lose a few of those. You're not going to be digging these mega monstrous holes. You're going to be tucking in plants into those roots and allowing them then to grow in between the smaller, finer roots. So to answer your questions, you might damage a few, but not that many. Can I still prune my lilacs? You can prune your lilacs, but you'll be pruning off flower buds at this point. You want to prune lilacs and any spring blooming shrubs within about a couple of weeks after they bloom. The sooner the better. So right now, if you prune those lilacs, you won't have much for flowers. Is it too late to trim a river birch? No, you can prune it now. Note that the sap will run, and so just be aware of that. Where would I be able to get Honeycrisp trees to plant in our yard? Talk to your local garden center. Is it too late to prune trees now like maples and honey locust? I don't believe so. Honey locusts have a special time of pruning, and I'm not really sure what that is. But you could prune your maples now. Here's someone who suggested for the pumpkin grower, I put grass clippings around pumpkin plants once they're up to control weeds. That's great. Someone else has said the first year they put plastic sandwich bags around each apple on their tree. So this is about protecting apples from apple maggots and coddling moths and other pests. And any suggestions for guaranteed success? Well, there's no guarantee success. Sorry.
No guarantees.
But there is a great publication on apple pest management, and I would say I would recommend looking at that. There is with those plastic bags, you do want to actually snip off a corner so that water will flow out of there if it gets in. And then you want to actually staple on either side of the stem to keep that bag zipped closed and use a zipping bag kind of thing. So but yeah, take a look at that pest management. And actually the blueberry grower too, we have a good publication on blueberries as well. So remember that site is extension.umn.edu and click on the garden tab, go to yard and garden, and that you should be able to find some good information there.
We have, boy, we've got about 60 Woo! Seconds to go. And
I'm take a breath now.
Yes. You know, I apologies to our callers who just called in. We're just about out of time.
Yeah.
And there's no way we can get your question asked
right.
and answered.
But it is about apple trees, Clarence. And take a look at that publication on growing apples in Minnesota. I think you'll probably get your answer.
And for those that maybe have yet to check out the website, I mean,
yes.
there's so many. I was going to ask you, what can we find on the website? We don't have time enough for you to tell.
No, publications, diagnostic tools, videos, Yard and Garden news blog, all sorts of great things. And it's getting very active right now because it's that time of year.
And one of these days, you and your colleagues will probably have Dr. John or maybe Sam Bauer back.
Yes.
To talk about lawns as well.
Turf gurus, yes,
yeah.
we're coming into that season as soon as the snow melts.
Yeah, which I think
don't do anything to your lawns.
We're gonna add to it tomorrow night and maybe a little Monday, but it will be probably disappearing quickly this week.
Right?
Are we going to be seeing you next week or?
I'm not sure. I think I'm back
week.
On the 28th.
All right. Well, one way or the other, we'll have a garden show.
Yeah,
lawn
there'll
garden
be somebody
show
here.
Sure. All right, Julie.
Teresa.
Good to see Julie
Thank
again.
Thank you.